Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And in a moment, Aaron, I would love to have you come up and read the scripture, the whole passage. Would you want to do that? I'm going to ask before we get started. But John chapter 15, and I want to talk this morning about the secret of remaining in Christ. The secret of remaining in Christ. What's the secret? We're going to look at it. Chapter 15. Imagine with me for a moment. It is the final weekend before Christmas. And you're on your way to the shopping mall, and with you, you have a 7-year-old. It's just you and a 7-year-old. If you're fortunate enough, you'll find a parking spot, right? You guys been there? Go to the mall, and there's one parking spot, and it's way over in the other corner of the parking lot. Okay, so you're fortunate if you can find a parking spot. But when you find yourself in the press of people, okay, you enter the door of the mall and you find yourself in the midst of people, it makes shopping almost impossible, right? That's when everybody gets attitudes. Because you got to stand in line, you can't get through, and everybody's going their way, and everybody's in a hurry, and everybody's waiting until the last moment to get their presents. One mother was giving final instructions to her young son before plunging into the crowd. Okay? What do you think her instructions were? Now, son, hold my hand. Whatever you do, hold on to my hand, I'll hold on to yours, and we'll make it through. We'll get through. We won't lose each other. What she was saying was, stay close to me and hold my hand all the time so we do not get separated. Now, let's take that and let me say this. As Jesus prepared his disciples and us to face life without his visible presence. Okay, Jesus here in John chapter 15 was preparing to go away. He was not going to be there in visible presence with them. And as he was preparing to go, he said, whatever you do, abide in me. Hold on to me, because you're about to go into the mall and there's going to be things, pressures, people that will come upon you, and it's going to be easy to get lost in the crowd. But don't do it. Hold on to me. Amen. That's what he's saying here in John chapter 15. Okay, Aaron, would you come forward? We're going to read verses 1 through 11.
Can you read? It's just something you
read. It's on. Yeah. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Just shout it out.
I am the true vine, and my Father is my husbandman. Every branch in me that which beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he plunges it, this that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, no more ye can, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, ye cannot do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men greater than him, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If he abides in me, and my work abides in you, ye shall ask that ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full.
Very good. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate that very much. Good job. Okay, we're going to do a little Sunday school lesson this morning instead of preaching. I want to preach too, but I want to... You know what? Sometimes when you just preach and preach and preach, I get a lot out of it because I studied it out. That's why I get fired up, because I had to study it and I got a better understanding of it now. But if I just sit there and I listen to somebody else that is preaching, I don't get as much out of it unless I can interact. And this morning I'm going to interact. And so some of you guys are yawning, I can tell. You guys are tired. You went to the rodeo last night, didn't you? And you went to bed late. Okay, so here's your first... Here's your first question. Have you ever felt far from Christ since you've been a Christian?
No.
Have you felt far from him? Is that a sin?
No.
It's not a sin?
Or get you closer later.
What's that, Aaron?
He'll get you closer.
He'll get you closer?
Get you closer to God again.
Is it?
It's a test of your faith. He says in the Bible that there's going to be times where it seems like he's not present, and he wants to see how you're going to react or how you act.
Is it not true that there are dry times in all of our lives? Dry. When we don't feel close to God. Maybe our very most important prayer request didn't get answered, and it causes us to kind of lose faith, and we kind of crawl into a hole, and we just sort of become dry. We just feel so unattached to God. And then other times, we feel the presence and the power of God upon our lives, and it feels so good. And it's what gets us through the next dry time, isn't it? If our times all were dry and down, we wouldn't make it. But every once in a while, God gives us that burst, and we feel like we're on the top of the mountain, and it'll keep us going. Now, what circumstances made you feel apart from Christ? Thinking back, remember of an experience in your life when something happened that caused you to draw away from Christ. You felt dry, unattached. What would be a circumstance that made you feel that way?
The cares of this world.
The cares of this world. Is Levi right?
Oh, yeah.
Has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? The cares of this world, you could talk about all kinds of things, like too busy. I was so busy. I was behind. I couldn't stop. I had to go until it was done. And it was all of a sudden it's Saturday and I didn't spend any time with God. Let's look at 15, verse 1 and 2. When we read this, verses 1 and 2, Jesus' instructions to his disciples in this passage revolve around three symbols. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purchases it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What are the three symbols in those two verses?
The vine, the branch, and the
fruit.
Gardener.
The gardener. The vine. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
Who's the branches?
Us.
And who's the gardener?
God.
Thank you. Get an A+. What is Jesus trying to communicate by calling himself the vine? Think about it for a minute now. What is Jesus trying to communicate
when he calls himself, why would he pick a vine? What's the significance of a vine? What?
It's a life form.
It's
the life form. If you don't have a branch is nothing without the vine. It's where you get your nourishment.
The vine
brings
me the
food
and water and nourishment.
It all comes from the vine, doesn't it? The vine is what gives us the branches the life. And then the branches do what?
Bring forth fruit.
They bring forth fruit. But it all comes from the vine.
Amen.
And so, in order to help the disciples and for us to understand what he's about to say, he put it in a parable and he said, imagine me as the vine and you as the branch and God as the gardener. Who does the pruning?
God.
Does it feel good?
No.
And he's saying here in verse number one, I am the what?
True vine.
The true vine. Are there other vines, even in this day, they're walking around saying,
yeah.
Yes, there are. I know some horror stories about, and you do too, from the past of people that claim to be Christ, and they claim to be next thing to Christ, and they took people and they it was cultish and they ended up dying. And what are some names?
Charlie Manson.
Who?
Charlie Manson.
Charlie Manson, yeah. He was a rock.
He claimed he was Jesus.
Rock star. Was he not the rock star?
Okay. He formed a cult. They all believed him to be Jesus. And he ordered them to kill people of color or race. I'm not sure the whole story, so I can't be real right now.
But sometimes they're not as obvious as Charles Manson, are they? They're more low key, but they are an antichrist. They're not the true Christ. And that is what Jesus is trying to point out, is I am the true vine. John later, after Jesus had gone to heaven, he, looking back, he said, he was the true light. He was the true one. After all these years, the prophets had been prophesying that there was going to be one that comes from heaven, and they thought in their minds that he was going to set up a kingdom, and the Jewish people were going to be the number one people in the kingdom. They were going to serve the king. They were going to be right there. And they were looking for this guy. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy that was born in a manger, in a barn. There was nothing spectacular about him at all. What? Jesus of Nazareth? I went to school with him and we played on the playgrounds and he got hurt and he bled he had to listen to his mommy just like I did. He's the Son of God. But yes, I am the true vine. That's what he's saying. Now, let's keep looking at it. I'm the true vine. What is so significant about calling his disciples or us branches? What is so significant about calling us branches? Think about that for a second. You know what significant means? What is so important? What's the importance of us being the branches?
We're connected to him.
We're connected to him. How do we get connected? Are we always connected? The moment we believe, the connection is made, right? Salvation. That is when the branch is attached to the vine. And that is very significant because if you're not saved this morning, you're not even attached to the vine. You're not attached to the true vine. Instead of, let's look at verse 4. Somebody go ahead and read that. And here's my question. Instead of commanding us to bear fruit,
what is Jesus' command?
Verse 4, somebody read it.
Jesus
remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine.
Okay. You were not done.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
Okay. Do you see, there's no command here that we are to bear fruit, is it? Do you see anything? Huh? See that? We talked about that this morning, didn't we? We cannot do works on our own.
You can't be a Christian without him either. He didn't design us to be a Christian. The only way we can be a Christian is through him.
Let's read the verse again. Read it again, Bob.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
What's our part?
Remain in him.
Remain in him. But I thought I had to bear fruit. No, that is as a result of remaining in him.
Because as the branch, you will continue to grow, and the further you grow, eventually you will produce fruit.
Mm-hmm. It comes as a result. So instead of focusing on, I have to, what should we focus on?
Abiding in him.
Just abide in him. Remain in him. Focus on that. Remain in him. Forget the rest.
Amen.
The rest will come.
Yes.
I just have to hold on to him.
Yes.
That's my job.
Amen.
Doesn't that sort of relieve you?
That's our command.
That's the command. Remain. What's that? Oh, you guys see? Lord, this is mysterious, isn't he? You guys had a lesson like this, didn't you? Amen. Okay, let's keep going. What does it mean, now that we know that we are to remain or abide in him, what does it mean to abide in him? How does a person abide in him?
Okay,
who said that? Okay, yes?
By obeying his commands.
Okay, that is one way to remain in him.
By having a personal relationship.
Okay. First and foremost, a personal relationship. If we don't have a relationship, then the rest of it is zilch. So, we are to obey him. Okay. Any other, how do you remain in him? If it's not by... I got to say this differently. If our fruit is a result of abiding in him, then we realize that we can't on our own have fruits. We really can't unless we're abiding in him. Maybe they are fruit. Can we have false fruit? Probably, couldn't we? I mean, some unsaved person can be a good person. But we're talking about the real fruit, the real vine, the real everything. So how do we remain in him? I think, personally, what are the commandments? Let's follow on with that. And there's some things I really want to bring out here. I think, first of all, commitment. Commitment to Christianity, period. And that means, I mean, you know how the commitment level has gone right out the door in this country? You can go anywhere you want. There is no commitment anywhere anymore to speak of. There's still those few people that are committed. But marriage, what kind of commitment do we have in marriages today? It's horrible. The first little ripple that comes along sends the marriage flying, right? I'm not working through that. Church, we talked about that yesterday. Where is the commitment level in church? Not just by showing up, but becoming involved. Commitment.
And we all have commitments, but often they're in the wrong places. We're committed to our TV show. Or we're committed to what?
Work.
Making money.
Rodeo.
Rush that one up.
Committed to bull riding.
We have commitment. I said, maybe it's wrong to say there's no commitment, but where's the commitment when it doesn't go the way you want it to go, or it should go?
So I would say, in order to abide in Christ, we have to be committed. And you know what? That is a decision that we have to make. We have to make a decision. I'm going to be committed. Even if that brother offends me in church, I'm going to be committed to go right through it. You know, Dad, if you do something and I'm really hurt, I'm prepared ahead of time to realize that you are a human being. And that, now, let's turn it around. I'd rather talk about me. If I offend you, I hope you're so committed, Chad, that you can overlook me and say, he's just a human being. And he made a mistake, it hurt me, but my commitment level is so strong that I'm going to keep right on going. It is. It's hard to do that. But commitment, abiding in Christ, commitment. And I think Bible reading and prayer, witnessing and using our gifts and talents that God has given us, and hanging around godly people. If you wanna abide in Christ, you have to do those things. Now, what are some things that keep us from abiding in Christ?
Wrong crowds.
The wrong crowds?
Crowds and people.
How about jealousy? Anger?
Bitterness.
Self-bitterness. Consider this, the closer that the branch abides to the heart of the vine, the more nourishment the branch will get, right? The closer you are, the more nourishment you get. That's why trees and grass along the riverbanks are greener and stronger, because they have lots of nourishment often. And that is exactly what happens when we get close to the vine. The closer we get, the more fruit we bear. It's an automatic result of being close. Now, you can almost lose your faith in the Word during dry times. But don't do it. You can almost forget God's goodness by looking at others sometimes. But don't do it. Okay? David said this. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Have you ever done that? Looked around and said, man, I go to church and I read my Bible and I pray and I am committed and I do all these good things, and for some reason I am struggling financially and I'm depressed a lot of the times and I'm discouraged and things just don't go my way. My truck is about to break down and has broken down and my car is breaking down, and we're, you know, and I look across the road and there's a guy that sleeps in on Sunday mornings, watches TV all day, drinks, goes to parties, drugs, drives a nice four-wheel drive dually, extended cab, everything's going well for him. That's what David was saying. You know, I get my eyes off of Christ and I get it on my neighbor and I realize how God is seemingly blessing him for no reason at all. And he says, my feet are almost going. You can almost forget God's goodness by looking at others, but don't do it. You can almost give up on yourself when you fail God, but don't do it. You can almost decide to just live with your secret sin.
but don't do it. You can almost decide to live with your secret sin, but don't do it. Don't do it. Do you have secret sins? Do we all have that? Lord, I'll give you everything in this drawer. You can have everything in there. Open this drawer. Everything you see in there, Lord, it's all yours. I'm giving it to you. Don't touch that drawer. That's where you just stay out of that. My business when it comes to that drawer. That's the way we are.
Mm-hmm. If you store it long enough, you get to the point where you want to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's a precious time, isn't it? I don't even like to be around people like that. That have said, Lord, you can have all the whole dresser, just the drawers, everything that's in it. And I just love being around those people. There's something about them, just being close to them, right? Somebody raised their hand in the back.
Yes. If you hold on to those sins, it's almost like the bitterness gets over. It's hard. I think the biggest part of that is it's hard to forgive yourself. So you think, well, if I can't forgive myself, how can God forgive me?
Yeah.
And then you just come to a point where you're like, I can't take this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just open up to it.
The drawer that you don't allow him in, that's the drawer he wants to
work.
But
we learned this morning that to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor that you were speaking be put away from you with all kindness.
Wow. And don't we have to do that sometimes over and over? We do it once, we thought we got victory. A year later, maybe a month later, we find that we're hanging on to it and we have to let go of it again. And you know what? That is something that we'll just have to do the rest of our lives. We have to constantly re-let go of it.
Okay. Chapter 15, verse 2. It says here in verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchases it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In what ways have you experienced God's, the Father's pruning? Somebody be honest this morning and say, I want to share of a time when God pruned me and I knew it was God. While you're thinking about it, let me say this. We blame the devil way too much. I believe that. That crazy devil, he got me in trouble again. Maybe it was God pruning you. And I think, now I'm not sticking up for the devil, but he gets a lot of blame that's not due him. So, when did God prune you? We're close, aren't we? Small, we can share. When did God prune you?
I was very low in my spiritual mind, and I knew my folks were around, but I had given up that they would show up, and all of a sudden they came in the driveway, and I knew that was a prayer answer, but I really believed it was a killing.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. It was a challenge to have them there, but it was very good. It helped me get beyond my
feet again. Very good. When were you pruned?
My father don't really know me, or my best friend was daughter, her sister. My dad and my family really brought me towards God, and I had a lot of falling out through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things growing up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, my mother, moved to Johnstown, and that's where I met Crystal. I'm going to cry, so.
Fine.
I know.
Take your time.
And Crystal just really, really came into my life and brought God into it so much. And if it wasn't for her, I don't know who I would be, where I'd be.
Why do we prune trees? Huh?
to make them better, and what happens when you prune?
We have bad sections where the branch will continue to grow in a better way.
Yeah, makes the branch stronger, bears more fruit, right?
If you, like a grapevine, the further you prune it back, the more fruit it bears until you prune it back too far.
Ooh, that's hurting me just thinking about that. I keep pruning away on you, Daniel. The more I prune away, the more fruit I get, right? That doesn't feel good, Joel, does it? I don't like to be pruned, but it's for the glory of God. Okay, let's keep going. Very good. Thank you for sharing. Now, what spiritual benefits result from remaining in Christ? Let's look at verse number 7 through 11. These are the benefits that result from remaining in Christ. Verse number 7. It says, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You see the benefit? But first we must
remain.
Abide in him or remain in him. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. And the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You guys like to have joyful lives? I do. I like to be joyful all the time.
Yes.
But sometimes I'm not, and it could be because I'm not abiding in Christ. I'm not connected with him. So if you want to have that joy, there's a condition you have to meet. You have to abide. It says, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Then he ends with, that your joy might be full, in verse 11. Now there's three categories of branches described in this passage. Those bearing no fruit, those bearing some fruit, and those bearing much fruit. What category are you in? What category are we in this morning? No fruit, some fruit, or much fruit?
Much fruit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Reminder, it is not our job to bear fruit, is it? But it is our job to abide or remain in him.
Amen.
Go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 13. And look at verses 1 through 9. I'm just going to read this. The parable of the sower. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60%, some 30%. Whoever has ears, let them hear. There was another scripture that I was going to read, but it's not on there. It was the parable about the talents. Remember the one that went on a far and distant land? And he gave three people talents. He gave one, was it 10 talents? He gave another one 5 talents. And he gave another one 1 talent. And when he came back, the one that had been given 10, I think I'm right, had 20 to give back to him. And the one that had 5 gave back 10. But what happened to the one that only had 1 talent?
He only gave one back.
He said, I knew what kind of a guy you were. I was afraid of you. I went out and dug a hole and buried it. And here it is. And God said, Jesus said, because you didn't do anything with it, I gave you that talent because you didn't do anything with it, I am going to take your talent away and give it to the one that made 10, brought back 10 talents. Abiding in him. Remaining in him. Some of us are not remaining in him. Now, I just want to end it like this. I want to say this. Wednesday night, we talked about accountability. Sarah is of a person here, and Joyce was of a person from Ashland. And maybe some of you in here, you want to spend more time in the Word. That is your desire. I want to spend more time in God's Word during the week. I want to spend more time in prayer. That's really my desire. I want to remain and abide in Christ in that kind of a way. But I have nobody holding me accountable. And so I get busy or I get lazy and I don't get it done. But okay, so we're setting up an accountability thing to where Joyce and Sarah, nobody's pressured to be a part of this in any way. Nobody. You don't have to be a part of this. But if your desire is great enough, then you can go to Sarah or you can go to Joyce and say, here's my name, put my name in the pot. And then Sarah and Joyce are going to come together and they're going to put like a mature person with a young Christian maybe, or an adult with a younger one, pair us up. And then we're going to hold each other accountable. You want to grow? You want to become a strong church? You want to be blessed and by God? And I think that would be a good thing. And we talked about this yesterday. We need each other. I can't do it myself. I can't read my Bible myself. Because I, personally, to be honest with you, I don't always enjoy it. I don't always enjoy getting up and praying. It's not my favorite thing to do always, to get up and read my Bible, because I'm busy. I got other things that I love to do. But if I know somebody's going to call me on Friday and ask, Joe, have you spent time in the Word? And I can say, yes, I've been in the Word every day. Yes, I've spent good quality time praying. And I know he's going to ask me week after week. I know if I am in there, it's going to grow me. It's going to strengthen me. And so I want to be a part of that. And I gave my name. If you want to do that, go talk to Sarah or Joyce today. And in the next week, they're going to put us together. We can do it over phones. And if you want to do that, feel free to do that. Okay? No pressure there. Okay, anybody want to say anything before we end it? About what we talked about this morning? Okay.
I would. This is my first time ever here, and I can feel the Spirit of God here a couple different times during the sermon and stuff, and there's a lot of, this is a small, very loving church, and I think that's very good grounds for the grow and prosper. I'm glad I came.
Thank you. We're glad Rocky came, right? Thanks for coming, Rocky. We're glad you could be a part of this. Okay, we're going to pray, and then we're going to eat. And Bob, we are going to trust that you'll get back with us maybe next week, and
give us some updates on that again. I want to go. I'll go. Yeah.
Everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
He's a real nice guy. He's a hillbilly.
That's part of the family, eh, Matt? We love hillbilly. Hillbilly's Amish. Terrible.
I'm not sure. Well, I was kind of glad to know him all my life. Me and him kind of were alike, and I just recently found that he's actually been attending church now.
Awesome.
On his own, with his wife, but I'm not sure what division, whatever. I haven't got into it that much with him yet. Mm-hmm. But I was just glad to hear at least he's going to church. He was a wild cat too.
Good.
Awesome. I'm excited. I'm glad Bob's getting this together. I just get all excited when I see God working through Bob like that.
That's all worth the excitement.
Amen. It will be. Just being with Bob is exciting enough. Okay, well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this Bible study this morning. And I want to thank you for how Crystal remained in you. We saw the fruit this morning, and it came out in tears. Just because Crystal remained in Christ. You've blessed us this morning. Thank you for all the ones that have shared and from their heart. And Lord, help us when we grow slack. We truly are doing the best that we can. But we're just human beings, Lord. And sometimes this world chokes us out. But on behalf of all our people here this morning, I just ask that you would help us this next week to be real and to try our very best to abide in you. We thank you for the food now and for all the people that have come and brought food with them. Help us to have a good time. We ask that you bless it. We thank you for it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.